Are you ready to get into the Word this morning? Yeah. So good, so good. Well, hey, I'm going to kind of dial us back in. I know I was out last week, but I'm going to dial us back in to what God's been speaking. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to start this message the same way I've started the other two that we've done in Joshua chapter 1. If you got your Bibles, you can go there. If you don't, no worries. It's going to be up on the screens. We're going to read it, and then we're going to pray and ask God to speak to us this morning. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1, says this. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you for the moments that we share together. God, we thank you that your presence is so richly in this place already. We thank you for the praise, for the worship. And God, we pray over these next few moments, Lord, would you open our hearts to be receptive to your word. God, I pray this so often. Your word is already anointed, but would you anoint me as your vessel to communicate your heart and your word to your people today? For it is the only thing that changes us. It is the only thing that we can build our life on. Father, it's the unchanging nature of who you are. So Lord, anything that is of my own opinions, thoughts, or clever ideas, God, I ask them to be erased from my memory and from my notes, because Lord, I can't even trust those. So Lord, we just ask you, would you change us, challenge us? God, would you dare to make us a little bit uncomfortable today if it means growing us into what you've always created us to be? We honor you. Speak to us today, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Anybody love God's word? Do you love God's word? Listen, I pray, one thing that I pray for you this year is that you would just get a fresh awakening in the word of God this year. I pray that over your life. Can I just be a little transparent off the top? I've spent the majority of my life reading the Bible and going, I don't know what I just read. I don't know what any of that means. Anybody else? You know, I spent so much of my life in that moment. And there was something about, I can't tell you the day, the time, or the hour, but I just remember when the word began to come alive and the Holy Spirit began to just speak to me like the words were jumping off the page, how it just revolutionized my life. And so can I tell you something? If you're finding yourself in a season where you're reading God's word and you're going, I don't know what any of this means, can I tell you? Keep praying, keep reading, because the Holy Spirit is going to keep revealing to you. Amen? I just want to just, it's not my notes, just receive that in Jesus' name. But hey, here we are, and we're at the start of this year, a kickoff, if you will, to 2020. And already I can't believe January is pretty much over, and here we are going into it. And we have been going through this. We've kind of declared prophetically for us as a campus, as a church, that this first 100 days, we've committed to be 100 days of bold action. I want to encourage you, if you haven't been on the journey with us, to get on the journey with us. You can do devotionals with us as well. It's on that Church Center app. It's on our webpage. It's a daily reading for you to do every day. It'll literally take you 2 minutes to read through. And we just hope it's encouraging you. But we've just declared, as we stand at the beginning, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it, at the beginning of a new year, at the beginning of a new decade, we believe this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us about being bold and courageous, bold and a bold action, if you will, in these first 100 days. And it's been something that has stretched us, something that has challenged us. And it's just been interesting to me how you can't really put your finger on it, maybe to know why it's different. But, you know, a new year always brings a new slate of opportunity. But has it felt different for anybody else stepping into a new decade, where it's just kind of been like a thing where you've stopped and maybe taken inventory of where your life is, of the things that you're doing that you should continue to do and the things that you're doing that you should stop doing, you know, those type of things. I've taken those type of inventories in a deeper way because there's just something a little more unique about the time that we're in stepping into a new decade. And we've been looking at this passage of scripture in Joshua chapter 1, and I don't know about you, but I just haven't been able to shake it. I've been reading it almost every single morning again and again and again because I feel like there's that much to it, and I believe it's so timely. Has this been a timely word for anybody else of where your life has been these last couple weeks? I believe it's been timely for us as individuals, and I really believe this is what God is speaking. I believe it's not particular to our campuses, but I believe if the Holy Spirit could say one thing to his people, to Christ followers in this day and age right now, it would be the things we've been pulling out of Joshua chapter 1. And I want to kind of dial us back in a bit because, as I said, I know we're a week or two removed from this passage of scripture. And so I want to bring us a bit on just a quick recap, if you will, to kind of get us through this progression that God speaks to Joshua. And I believe with all of my heart, God is speaking to you and I. So the first statement, of course, that he makes, we would look at intently, and it would be, he says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And that seems to be an obvious statement. I know Joshua wouldn't have had to have looked around very far to realize that Moses ain't there no more. And but why state the obvious? Why was God stating the obvious to Joshua? And why would God say something like that to you and I today? And we've really looked at it saying that, listen, God is saying that, listen, everything that happened in the previous decade, everything that happened in the previous year in 2019, there's nothing that you can do to undo what's already been done. So you can sit here and you can look at in the rearview mirror at the missed opportunity and the pain and the heartache and the things that came and the frustrating seasons. You can stand there and God will allow you to stand there as long as you'd like. I've said this phrase repetitively because it's rocked me to my core, that God will let you live on whatever level you settle for. And so as long as you want to keep looking backwards at what was and the frustrations of times past, regardless of how recent they may feel, you can stay there as long as you'd like. But God says to Joshua and God says to you and I that what is done is done. What is in the past is in the past. And listen, you can stay there, but there's something far much more ahead of you. Because ultimately we would look at it that God says this to Joshua because Joshua, I could imagine, feels pretty stuck. Maybe a bit of how you feel. Feels a bit of caught in between of, listen, I've had 40 years of wandering around in the desert. 40 years of what felt like circles. And I can imagine that Joshua is just assuming, I guess this is just what life is going to be like. Can I tell you something? That one of the greatest lies the devil wants you to believe is that the pain that you're living in right now will forever be there. Can I tell you one of the greatest lies that he wants you to believe is that this is as good as it gets, so you might as well just get comfortable. That just get used to that dysfunction at home. Just get used to just striving time and time again. Just get used to your never being able to break through financially. Just get used to your marriage always being combative. Just get used to your kids rebelling against you. Just get used to always being behind and never being ahead. After all, it's been the last 40 years of your life. After all, it's been what the whole previous season was like. So guess what, friend? New decade, same pain. That's the greatest lie that the devil wants you to believe is that I hope you're comfortable, and if not, you better get, because you're going to be here a long time. I can imagine Joshua feels stuck between the pain of what was and the promise of what is to come. Anybody remember the cartoon Gumby, right? He just feels like he's just being pulled. Stretch Armstrong, anybody? We were trying to figure out just how much we could stretch Joshua. Maybe you feel the same way, where I know God's promises for my life, and I keep hearing these messages, and I keep placing myself in the right environments, and it seems to be pulling me this way, but I've also got a past that keeps pulling me this way, and right now I just feel stuck in the middle with you. I got a feeling something ain't right. Right? You're like, you got there. You're there. Clowns, jokers to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle with who? You know, that's what we kind of feel. This is a bit of where Joshua feels, and probably a little bit of where you feel stepping into a new decade, a new year, wondering, is it just a new date on the timer, but still the same pain? This is a bit of where he is. And so knowing this, God speaks to Joshua what he's, I believe, once again, saying to us. We're seeing these parallels to what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking. He tells him to arise. Everybody say arise. And we would look at how arise is the Hebrew word that literally means to stand up after lying down. And so whether you're lying down because you've been knocked down, or you, maybe you've been, you're lying down because you've went and just laid down, God is saying, listen, you can lay there, once again, and settle. And I'll let you live there as long as you'd like. But you're never going to get to what I have. You're never going to get to the promise of what I've always had for you unless you got to get up. You got to stand up. You got to arise. You got to get back on your feet. I heard this week from a pastor friend of mine, and he said, if the opposition is greater than you imagined, it's because the promise is better than you imagined. If the opposition and the pain that you are facing is greater than you imagined, it's because what God has for you, the promise and the fulfillment, is actually greater than what you've imagined as well. And so you can, once again, you can lie there as long as you like. But he's saying, listen, we're never going to get to what God has if we don't first arise, to get off of the defensive, protecting what we think is most valuable, but rather than picking up and advancing into what God has said. So he says, arise. And then he makes the promise of all promises. Before he actually tells Joshua to do anything, and can I tell you this, before God instructs you to do anything this year, in this season of your life, and anything in the future, what he says to him is the promise of all promises that he needs Joshua to understand, and he needs you to understand. As he says, I will be with you. He gives them, listen, the whole linchpin, Joshua, to operating into what I have for you, the whole linchpin and to the whole key for moving forward and what God has for your life and your family and your business. You need to understand first that I will be with you. Because if you don't understand that I am with you, you're going to quit very early. You're going to assume every attack is just a sign that you're going in the wrong way. But can I tell you something? Nothing is attacked that doesn't pose as a threat. So if you don't feel under attack, chances are you're not getting close to anything God has for you. It's just a sign of what it is. It's a sign of this journey that we're on. So he says, I will be with you. I need you to understand, Joshua. I need you to understand, Ryan. I need you to understand, church, that victory is guaranteed because it's more dependent on my presence than your willpower. You've got a responsibility in this, but you got to know that the ticket to success, the ticket to breakthrough, the ticket to victory is my presence being with you. Are you with me right now? So he's trying to tell him, look, you can do it. Why can you do it? Because I'm with you. And then, this is kind of where we've left off a little bit, as he gives him the instruction. Now, after I get this message through to you, now what I need you to understand is your part in this. I need you to understand that you play a part. I know the pendulum seems to swing in church, and the pendulum seems to swing in our own seasons of life of where it's like, am I waiting on God, or is God waiting on me? You had that moment? I think he's waiting on me. I think I'm waiting on him. All right, I'll just do nothing, because that always accomplishes a lot. And the truth is always where? Somewhere in the middle. So he says, listen, I've got a responsibility in this. It's my presence, so I'm going to be with you. But you've got a responsibility in this. And he tells Joshua, I need you to only be. Everybody say, only be. He says, I need you to only be strong and courageous. I need you to be strong. I need you to be bold and full of courage. And can I tell you something? That boldness and courage, they're not personality traits. It's not that some people are born bold and some people aren't. Being bold and being courageous is a decision. Boldness is not limited to extroverted people. So all you introverts, like, I'm just not wired that way. No, but boldness, courage, strength, is a decision. So that word strong literally means to strengthen. There's an action to it. It's not like, I'm just going to think really strong thoughts. Oof. I can feel my abs getting bigger. Do you see it? Do you see it? I'm at a 10-pack. Anybody want to see me go to a 12? All right, 12-pack. You know, like it just doesn't work that way. There's a diligence to it. There's a intentionality behind it. He's got to get him into this place where he's sitting there and he's telling Joshua, he's telling us, listen, I'm going to be with you, but you got a responsibility in this, and I just need you to focus and concentrate on being bold, on being strong, on being full of courage, on growing, on increase. This is what I need you to get. It's not boldness until there's action attached to it. It's not boldness until we begin to do something. It's this decision that we begin to make. So as I said, I've woken up virtually every day and read this passage of scripture. And when we just came to an end recently with our 14 days of prayer and fasting, did you enjoy 14 days of prayer and fasting? Listen, whether you're able to be with us for one of our prayer meetings or not, I pray that over that time God was speaking to you, confirming things to you, and that God hasn't been able to shut up since. Come on, somebody. Like I pray that over your life. And as I was getting up early every morning to pray, praying about a few things, trying to spend a lot of time just listening. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And I kept chewing on this word of be bold and courageous, be strong and courageous. And I saw how it was beginning to revolutionize my life. And already just the overwhelming amount of feedback I've gotten from people just this month about this message of Joshua, this message that God has been speaking to us about it radically changing our life. And I don't remember what morning it was, but I was praying right over here in the corner very early in the morning. And I felt like the Holy Spirit began to speak something so clearly to me. A word for, I believe, us as a campus this year. And I don't believe that this is just corporately, but I believe it's very personal to you. And that word is that this year would be a year of great strength. That this year, I want to just declare in the room, on record, for you, over your life, over your marriage, over your business, over your finances, this will be a year of great strength. This will be a year that your marriage will get stronger. This will be a year that your children get stronger. This will be a year that your health gets stronger in the name of Jesus. This will be a year that your business begins to thrive. I prophetically declare that right now over your life. Do you receive that this morning? I'm just going to declare, because I know, because here's the deal. When God speaks something, I can't stop it, but I can miss it. I can't stop it, but I can miss it. So I invite you to come into agreement with this word that I believe the Holy Spirit began to speak. And so as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, I began to think about great strength. Okay, great strength. Well, how does one get stronger? Well, anytime that I'm not one who, you know, fancies the gym very, very often. I'm what they call skinny fat, right? Everybody's like, oh, you're so skinny. But I get winded going up the stairs, y'all. I'm like, like you're young and you're skinny. And I'm like, but I'm out of shape. You know what I mean? Like, this is just the way that my, I haven't grown in great strength in the natural in quite some time. There was a day, though, man, you're going to see my high school pictures. Ooh. And then I got a girl and I was like, my body's just gone. You know what I mean? And married or young. And anyways, enough about my dysfunctional marriage. Let's talk about Jesus. So, it's been a while since y'all laughed. I had to give you something. A year of great strength. So I began to think about how does one build strength in the natural? Because oftentimes God gives us illustrations in the natural of how the spiritual begins to work out. And so I said, well, how do I get strong naturally? Well, there comes a diligence to growing in strength, to becoming stronger. There's a discipline getting up early, going to the gym, right? The gyms are packed right now. Give it about 3 more weeks and they'll be empty again, okay? And so, you know, there's a discipline that goes there. And then when I began to work out, what begins to happen? There becomes lots of what? Pain, right? Some of y'all are like, I'm hurting right now. I was talking to Sean before service. He's like, man, I've been working out this year. My biceps hurt and everything hurts. And I've got my wife doing a roller pad on my muscles. You know, that's how you know you're getting old right there. And so, you know, I there's a tearing that takes place. There's a soreness that takes place. There's a recovery that takes place. Because truth be told, the weight doesn't get lighter. You just get stronger. Can I tell you something? Your life's not going to get lighter. God's just wanting to strengthen you, and he's got a promise of strength. But if you don't possess the discipline and the diligence and the intentionality to get in and do what's necessary to build that muscle, that weight's not going away, and you're going to remain in the weakness you feel like you're in. So if this is a year of great strength, we go, whoo, man, yes, Pastor, I've received that word. Yeah, but are you ready to work? Are you ready for the tearing and the pain and the time of recovery and the discipline? We shout about the results, but we get frustrated with the process. So if this is a year of great strength, listen, I prophesy all day up, down, and sideways over your life and over this campus. But there's still a responsibility. There's a responsibility that you and I hold. There's a boldness that's going to have to come alive in you this year for you to become, this to become a year of great strength. And so as I was chewing on this word, the Holy Spirit gave me, I came to Ezekiel. If you got your Bibles, we're going to go from Joshua over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. You've probably heard this before, but God's has been speaking to me through about 17 trapdoors in this passage of scripture. And I'm just going to hope it all comes out in Jesus' name. Are you ready? Ezekiel chapter 37 says this familiar portion of scripture. He says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy.'" Everybody say prophesy. "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you.'" Now, just a Bible study education moment for you. That word breath in the original language is the word ruach, which is the same word that translates into the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And so he says, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter you. I will cause the power of the Holy Spirit to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put," there's that word again, "breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. You know, I wonder what parts of your life look put together, but actually carry no life in them. It looks put together, it's made a whole lot of noise, but actually is lifeless. And you may have everybody else full, but you know that there's no life inside of it. There was no breath in them. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, the north, south, east, and west. O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." They didn't stand on their feet and become a great army until what? Until breath entered them. I wonder what you've prophesied to come together but have stopped prophesying, therefore is it living? Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, 'Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off.' And therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open up your graves and raise you from those graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the promise. I'll bring you into that land, the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, and I will open up your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit, my breath, within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken, and I may do it." Oh no, that actually says, "I will do it, declares the Lord." I began to really chew on this word, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal, and he, as he began to speak to me, I really feel that image that I shared with you just a second ago of what are the areas of my life, what are the areas of your life that are actually look put together and it has other people fooled because it's made a sound and it's made some motion, but it actually is lifeless. And I began to hear the word, hear God begin to say, Ryan, it's time for you to begin to prophesy over your life. It's time, Ryan, for you to begin to prophesy over this campus. This is what we know happens in Scripture. I'm going to read this in a specific translation, Proverbs 18:21, that the tongue can bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. That tells me that everything that I'm living at one point in time came out of my mouth. Because life and death flow out of the tongue. And it's interesting that back in Joshua, how he said to him after being bold and courageous, and he began to give him a formula, if you will, on the things that he needed to do to keep himself bold and full of courage, strengthened and full of courage. He said, meditate on the law. And once again, we've got to be able to read Old Testament scripture through a New Testament lens. And Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I actually came to fulfill it. And I actually came with this message of grace and truth. And so I've got to meditate on what Jesus has done in my life and what Jesus did on the cross. And these are the things that I need to ruminate on, and this needs to be ever what? On my lips. Meditating on it day and night, but actually coming out of my lips, coming out of my mouth, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth begins to speak. And so I felt the Holy Spirit say, it's time to prophesy. Because if I'm supposed to meditate on this grace that Jesus came with, I'm supposed to meditate on this message, it's interesting that the things that seem to come out of my mouth are contrary to the things that are written in His Word. And I'm wondering why I'm frustrated, because at the end of the day, you won't ever begin to prophesy what you don't believe. And it takes a boldness to speak into something that is contrary that it appears to be. And God began to say, how about you start declaring what I've shown you rather than what appears to be in front of you? Because if I could have a moment of transparency with you just for a moment, sometimes I'm transparent to a fault and I find out about that on Sunday night. So my wife goes, you know, you really shouldn't have said that. But I'm going to go there, okay? We're going to go there with each other. Here's my thing about prophecy. It's a moment of rawness and vulnerability. Listen, I believe in the prophetic. I believe it's alive and active and for the church today, but also don't believe it's contained to four walls of a church. I believe it. Words of prophecy spoken over my life, even over family members and friends and even complete strangers, have stirred my faith and altered, I believe, so much of what life is. But if I could give you a side note just for a moment in the area of the prophetic, that prophecy should never be information, should always be confirmation. There's no prophetic word that's ever been spoken in my life that already didn't have a yes in my spirit of what God had already said. And so God, believing in the gift of prophecy and seeing it outwork in the church and outwork everywhere else and seeing it come alive, it's been an easy thing for me to come into agreement with, but can I tell you something? It's not a natural thing to come out of my mouth. I'm always a pretty positive person. I always try to see the bright side of things, the glass half full, if you will, kind of perspective. I try to stay in a pretty joyful mood and happy mood, if you will. I believe that's something I do well, but I'm also the counteract of that, a weird balance, is I'm a bit of a realist, and so I kind of see things as they are, and I find myself straddling this line of, because I'm of the belief that you'll never get whole until you get honest, and so I've got to be able to see how things are. I've got to be able to identify how things are, but then God's saying, you can't set up camp in how things are when I'm calling you to be what I've said to you, what my promise is as it could be. And so I began to really feel this wrestle inside of me. This wrestle inside of me of God asking me, and I believe asking you over your life, to what's coming out of your mouth? What is it that God is asking, has revealed to you that you actually are wrestling with internally and you haven't ever thought to even speak yet? And the things that are coming out of you are contrary to the things that what God has revealed to you and contrary to what the Word of God begins to say. And I found myself really in this wrestle. Maybe you feel it as well. And the Holy Spirit brought me to, and Danae, you can come out, and as I just kind of start to close, but the Holy Spirit brought me to this story. I believe it's in Numbers chapter 20. And in Numbers chapter 20, what you don't know about, maybe you don't know about the story of Joshua, is that Joshua was the leader that led the Israelites into the promised land, but he wasn't the wasn't the original one who was supposed to. That was supposed to be Moses. Moses was the leader of the nation of Israel, and God used him in a mighty way, and he did some incredible things in helping. God used him to help set the people free from slavery in Egypt, and Moses was also the one that led them in these 40 years in the desert, and God used Moses in speaking to the people and performed many signs, many wonders, many miracles. It was a great time. Even in those 40 years, God's provision never stopped coming. But there was ultimately this thing that we read in Scripture in Numbers chapter 20, really the last interaction we see with Moses and God, where yet again, the nation of Israel were a bit of a bunch of complainers, if you will, and they had this moment once again that we see as a theme throughout those 40-year journey of there was no water. And God commands to Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. I want you to speak to the rock. And after you speak to the rock will open and waters will flow. And Moses had a bit of insecurity that was built into his nature that he struggled with, this thing that he wrestled with constantly. And in Numbers chapter 20, what we read is that Moses saw the rock and he didn't speak to it. He grabbed his staff and he beat the rock, and once again the rock opened and the water poured, and a lot of us would go, you know what, how good is God that even in disobedience he still moved through. And I feel like it's a bit of a picture of where some of us feel. Where God has asked you to open up your mouth and begin to speak to things not as they are, but as they have been revealed to you. And because it's so uncomfortable, or because we're in this wrestle of timidity and boldness, that we will reach for what served us in a previous season. Or we'll reach for things that are a little more comfortable to our, and we'll labor ourselves and we get worn out and we're weary and we're tired, and it's because you're trying to do the right thing the wrong way. And all because he didn't speak. He never got the fullness of the promise. That's why Zechariah would say, it's not by might. It's not my power. But by the ruach, by the breath, by his spirit, says the Lord. Some of us are desiring a reality that will never live, because you'll never live it until you speak it. So what are you saying? This 100 days of bold action, this command from God to Joshua and God to you and I of being bold and courageous, being strong and courageous. Can I tell you, where does it start? It starts from what comes out of your mouth. Because you'll never do what you don't first say. Only be bold and courageous, Joshua. You do this by meditating on my word. May that it may be ever on your lips. Because here's the thing, here's what we hear at times when we hear, you got to prophesy over your life. You got to prophesy over your future. Sometimes some of us hear it through the filter of name it and claim it. Lord, I received that Maserati in Jesus' name. I know I only make $20,000 a year, but that 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom, $3.5 million home is mine, says the Lord. He says what? You begin to speak what I've spoken to you. You begin to speak the promises of God that you've read in my word. These are the things to declare over our lives. Because here's the thing, you'll never prophesy to your future if you don't first know who you are. Some of you struggle to prophesy over your family and prophesy over your marriage because you don't actually really know who you are in Christ, who God says that you are. And if you've got an identity crisis on your hand, you don't even know where you're going to begin with. So God, I believe this morning wants to remind you, wants you to prophetically declare over your life who he says that you are. Because because once again, you'll never be able to do that. Ever. You'll never be able to prophesy over your future. You'll never be able to prophesy over that marriage. You'll never be able to prophesy over that business if you don't first know, this is who God says I am.